I'm Allie.
And I'm Casey.
And we're your podcast hosts.
The name of our podcast, as you can read, hopefully, is Pencils Down, Mics Up.
And we are just two friends that decided to start a podcast on a whim. But like, isn't that how all podcasts are started?
Yeah, I feel like every friend group is convinced that they could definitely become so like, set with, oh my gosh, let's record a podcast, and then they try it and then it just doesn't work out, or
the idea is there, but like we're official because we have
like we're actually recording.
Yeah, no, like this is live and it's go time. Casey's over here making shirts.
I just can't help but think that someone's outside of this room listening.
Oh yeah, so like let's give a little setting. Yeah. Description. Yeah. So we're currently at school.
The Grand Canyon University in the College of Education.
We're on the third floor of the CCOB.
In case there's an emergency, you know where we are.
If we don't come back for episode two.
In the last study room.
Yeah. One of our lovely professors, who we won't name names because confidentiality, let us into the locked study room.
And it's actually for faculty, so we're basically special.
We're basically, like, cool now. Yeah. But, you know, Casey, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, so my name's Casey. Try to figure out what my teacher name's gonna be, because my last name is Dill, but, like, I feel like Miss Pickle would be fun. I've been called Pickle, like, in sports growing up and stuff. I just don't really know if it's, like, totally appropriate. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but anyways, I go into student teaching next semester, which is really in less than a month from now, so I'm super excited about that. But I'm from San Diego, California, and I feel like a lot of the way that education was there for me has influenced me to be a teacher and to be a, you know, change within, like, the school systems, because the world needs better good quality teachers, and I really am passionate about that. That's about it.
Yeah. What are you, like, what has been your favorite memory of your time here in the College of Ed?
Definitely not our benchmark assignments.
Bro, I hate those.
They take like 5 hours each.
Yeah.
I don't know, I've met just a lot of really great people who I look up to, Allie being one of them. We met in a SPED class.
SPD 200.
Yeah.
That where was we like learned last
about,
year.
Yeah, it's been a year. And we learned about making IEPs and 504 plans. And we were actually just talking about how we wish there was more of those kinds of classes for us, because learning how to differentiate and advocate for students of special needs is very complex. And like you have upwards of like 25, 30 students in a classroom, and there's just always going to be so much going on. So really like nailing that down is super important. But anyways, I don't know. I just like the people I've met, and I think I've learned a lot from them, and I enjoy their personalities and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, give your intro now.
Yeah, so my name's Allie. I don't student teach next semester. I student teach next fall, but I get to sub 3 days a week, which is so fun. I'm from the lovely Washington State. So yeah, that's cool. Don't love the rain. But I guess my parents are both teachers, and so that's definitely been an influence in my decision to become a teacher. But I think for me, just, I love kids. I love everything to do with kids, and just their brains are fascinating. And I think it's just so cool to see like the development and maybe the first day of school to the last day of school, and just like how far they can come. I love to help kids, and what better way to do that than to see them 5 of the 7 days of the week? Yeah.
I also think something that's like really incredible about kids is like they're just like so pure and innocent. Like, think about like a first grader, like anything you tell them, they're not going to doubt you. They're going to take what you say for what it is, because they believe you. And like, How many, like, you just, like, walk around and you feel like you can't trust the person next to you, or you're like, oh my gosh, the world is filled with trust issues, but, like, these kids genuinely are just, like, such a light in anyone's day. So, yes, they have their moments, and, you know, they're having accidents in class, and they're leaving caps off of markers, but, like, I'd rather, like, it's just, like, truly a blessing, you know what I'm saying? So.
I think what's cool, too, is, like, we're both Christian, we believe in the Bible, and, like, we get the opportunity to share the gospel with not necessarily being like, yo, this is Jesus. We get to do that by loving people. Like, Jesus loved us so well. So now we get to share that love with students. And I think it's just, it's fascinating how simple one little small action can be. And these kids truly do look up to us. But yeah, that's kind of, I would say, our introduction. Let's jump into some questions. Casey, do you want to read off the first one for us?
Here's a good one. What do you hope that, like, anyone who listens takes away from what we're going to be talking about?
That's good. Yeah, I would say, like, truth telling, is that the saying?
Yeah.
That Casey and I have no expectations for this podcast. we're literally going to be long distance friends starting in 2 days, but that's okay because we'll make it work. And but we just, like, we feel it is helpful to listen to people in the field that are experts or just have been there before. And for me, like, I would love to be that for somebody that's starting this journey, whether that's high schoolers thinking about education or just in their general classes in the college, like the first couple of years, and just being like, okay, is this really what I want to do? Like, I think we want to be, like, truth telling, and we want to show you all sides of it. I think it was you, which you should elaborate on, of, like, the stigma or of teaching.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, like, just because of my own personal experiences, like, going into senior year, you're faced with this big, like, question. Okay, where do you want to go to school for college? What do you want to do for the rest of your life? And that's such a, like, dooming and, like, seriously huge thing to put on a kid whose brain is still developing in so many different ways. Like, I've always gone back and forth with things growing up, but I was like, I guess I'll just be a teacher. And everyone tells you, don't be a teacher because they make no money. And you know, there's this stigma that, like, teachers have such an easy job. Like, it's actually not that hard. Like, I thought that even. And once I got here, started taking my education classes, I was kind of, you know, I fell on my butt because it was not that way. It's not that it's like, well, I'm taking chem classes and I'm doing all of this, but it's like imagine yourself trying to manage a classroom of like 26 kindergartners who, you know, they all come from different places. They're taught different things at home and they bring that into the classroom, and like you're responsible for 26 tiny humans who are just learning to like express themselves in so many different ways. And so it's just a lot harder than I think a lot of people think. And I think one of the reasons why I feel inclined to like even talk about any of this is because I feel passionately for teachers and like to, I guess, advocate on their behalf. Like, I haven't even officially started.
Neither of us have.
Yeah, but like even just being in a classroom for, you know, however many hours we have to complete for practicum, like I've seen so much, I've heard so much, I've been involved in a lot, and like it's a serious thing, and I just think it would be really amazing to get to talk about it more with, you know, my friends and people who are going through, you know, the same things and stuff, so.
I think we should also, like, is that, like, a disclaimer, right, where they send a little memos in the video?
Maybe,
I think we should just say, too, like, like Casey said, like, she hasn't started, I haven't started.
Right.
We're by no means professionals. No. What we say is not always the right stuff, and I want us and hope that we will share our failures because the listener is not alone in that.
100%.
I'm
highly expectant of making mistakes in my student teaching, in my real teaching experiences, And that's 100% okay. Like, yeah. I want my students at the end of the day to feel comfortable in a classroom where they know that if they make a mistake, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always another way to, you know, find an answer or find a solution. And sometimes there isn't. And, like, that's totally okay, yeah. too. But as long as you're trying. We watched Moana the other day, and Allie pointed out a quote that she heard one of the characters say, like, trying is mandatory. And, like, how great is that? Like, you know, that's definitely going to be on one of my bulletin boards, you know, like.
Because it's, like, one thing that we've been taught in one of our courses is, like, you can't force kids to learn. You can't force them to do anything, but you can strongly encourage it. And it's, like, we can encourage each other to try these things. We can encourage each other to do this and this and this, but I can't force Casey to go out and do this, you know, and it's. We have that opportunity with kids, too. We can encourage them to keep their hands to themselves.
Yeah.
We can't force it, but that's a greater life lesson that we get to teach them instead of just babysitting them.
Right.
We're not babysitters.
No.
We're teaching them educational needs, but also, like...
Life skills.
Life skills, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think, like, how cool is that, honestly? And... we look at it and it's a completely different lens now of instead of I'm a student and I have a teacher who's teaching me the quadratic formula. No, I'm now the teacher that gets to teach kids why adding and subtracting is useful, but can also be fun.
Right.
And I think like if I was a listener and I found a podcast, like I have found a podcast of some really great elective teachers that are younger and they're also like social media influencers and, and they share stories and they have questions and they bring in guests, like that's so great.
Yeah.
But they're also in the profession and they've been doing it longer, and they're all like high school, and so I think it's cool that we get to do this opportunity of being new teachers and starting our journey together and sharing like that whole kind of process, because also it's different in every state,
right?
And where we're being prepared is through Arizona, but like for me, I'm going back home to Washington to teach, so that's gonna look different than Casey in Arizona, or if she goes to California or wherever she might end up, like it's all gonna look different. So like it's cool for us to be able to look back on life in college, then student teaching, then the first couple of years, like what's that looked like, but then also being able to encourage other people and to share our stories.
100%. Pull me down if I'm on my high horse, but I've always thought that like teachers are honestly the influencers of like the world. Like if you think about it, any president you could ever think of, like someone had to teach them how to speak. So I mean, teaching is a really important and necessary job, and I just wish that more people didn't take that for granted. I think we took a class where our professor, he would always tell us it's unfortunate that there are students who go through college to become teachers only to be in the profession for 2 or 3 years, and like that's just not only hard on everybody, you know, investing in your education, but also like the students, like we like the students need consistency just as much as we feel like we might in different areas of our life. Like you don't know where your students are coming from in the morning when they come into your classroom, and you don't know where they're going home to, and you as a teacher, I feel like I think one of your goals should be to like make sure that your classroom is a safe space for them to kind of just like freely be themselves and express their thoughts, obviously in a respectful and appropriate manner. But yeah, just really like giving your students love in obviously appropriate ways. I don't know. It's just like there's a lot of like really sad things that you see. Someone told me today, I won't share who, but someone told me today that they didn't feel like teaching was a job where it's high stress, and you like you come home from teaching or you go to teaching and you don't, you know, worry whether you're gonna come home safe. And I kind of disagree with that, because obviously like there's a lot of really tragic things that happen in schools, mm-hmm. and it's been kind of like a trend over the last few years, and it's really unfortunate, but that's all to show, like, you just want to make sure that your students are comfortable with you, that you're comfortable working with your students, and, like, you guys are a big whole family. Obviously, you're not, like, their best friend because there's boundaries, but, you know, there has to be some form of relationship there for them to respect you enough to want to learn from you.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I don't know. What's one of your favorite, like, I guess on the spot, like, what's one of your, I'm trying to figure out what I'm trying to say, like, like, mottos tell, for teaching.
I was going to say, side note, though, if you couldn't tell, Casey and I are big wingers.
Yeah.
We like to wing it with literally everything we do, so.
Like, type B.
To be honest, we have no notes or anything of what we're doing. Yeah. We're just kind
of. We got out of class early and decided we would try this.
No, that's literally it. But so anyways, I hope thus far in this audio that you're listening that you've gotten something, or you're like, okay, like, yeah, this could go somewhere, because that's also our hope. But what was your question?
Like, what's a, like, motto that you have for teaching that you feel like you apply to your own experience and journey?
That's good. I would honestly kind of say that, like, every student deserves your attention.
Yeah.
And deserves one-on-one time.
Mm-hmm.
So part of my subbing job is I don't always have a classroom that I'm in on my own. So like yesterday I was helping the kindergarten class with a lovely, wonderful kindergarten teacher. I love her dearly. She just handles them well, and she has, I think she was saying, currently 28 students. So it's a lot of 5-year-olds.
Yeah.
All with different needs. And there's one student who can have a little bit of behavior issues if he's having a rough day, but his bigger area of concern is he doesn't really do work. He just kind of sits there, but then also, like, doesn't really speak.
Yeah.
But sometimes he can, and I just kind of would walk around, and when I would make my lap by his table, I would just smile and say, hey, how you doing? And, like, he would just kind of nod.
Yeah.
And then at one point, like, I just asked him some questions, and he won't. Sometimes he'll answer, sometimes he won't. And then we were talking about colors, and I was like, do you know what this color is? And he would point, and then the next one, to the correct color, let me say, and then the next one he would say the actual color. And it was just really cool, because throughout that whole day, like, that relationship formed. And by the afternoon, like, we were able to, they were doing an activity of cutting the sequence of events of the gingerbread story and then gluing them in order. And I don't know if I was out when they were reading the actual story, but when we were doing that, like, we were just flipping through the book, but he was, like, fully capable of being able to do it and glue it and cut it in the right order without my help of just guiding him. Okay, well, what do you notice about this picture?
Right.
And it was just super cool, because it took max an hour-ish throughout the whole school day for that bond to make, and he was able to learn something.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I wish I could clone myself. Like, I wish I could help him, but then also help the other 27 kindergartners. Right, right. But I just, I do believe that every student has the ability to learn and has the ability to, like, they need your time.
Yeah.
And that's a balance. Like, I can't only work with him every single day, because I have, you know, 20 other kids you have to work with. So just.
Right. Teaching is learning how to, like, manage your time very effectively, which is going to take a while for me to get down, because I'm, like, up until the last minute, like, I'm a procrastinator, honestly, and I'll push everything off, and then when something's due, I'm like, okay, scram, like, you know, I get to it, but, yeah, that's something I'm going to really have to work on in student teaching, is really trying to manage my time intentionally. Yeah, that's a good one. But I would say my motto is, we're lifelong learners. I don't remember what professor said that, otherwise I'd shout them out. But that is, like, if you have that lens on life, like, I just feel like there's nothing that you'll face that you won't believe that you yourself can get through or get over.
Yeah.
Like, I'm having a hard day, and this is what's going on. This is what's not working out. But, like, there's always something to be learned here. Mm. And that's also going to be something on my, like, wall in my classroom, because, like, I just love walking into a classroom. This is a side note, but I love walking into a classroom and they have all these, like, affirmations, like, or like a cute little mirror with, like, I am brave. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think that's so sweet. But
I think that's a great way for students to start off their day.
Yeah.
We're running out of time here, so we have a few more minutes. Yeah. But I think a lot of our professors talk about, like, the work-life balance, mm-hmm. and how teaching is a burnout. So personally for me, I would say that I'm trying to spend my time practicing that, okay, I'm really burnt out from working or school today. What's something I can do for myself?
Yeah.
And I guess my question is just, like, what are some of your go-to self-care things or routines or things that you're implementing now,
yeah.
in the time where you're not working that 7 to 5 daily or whatever your hours are?
Yeah.
To have that practice to be able to go forward.
So I actually really struggled with this last semester. Like, I kind of turned into a crazy monster because I was not effectively managing my work-life balance and making sure that I was, like, taking care of myself. Like, I would go to class, go to teaching, go to work, mm-hmm. and repeat. And so it's kind of been a little bit of that way this semester, but, like, I've found that even just an hour to myself, like, quiet time, whether that's, like, a cat nap or going for a walk outside. Like, I wake up at 5 every morning, and that is insane, and I'm aware of that. But I have that, like, hour to just, like, go for a walk in the morning, yeah. and it's so quiet outside. Like, you guys wouldn't believe it. I love it. I am going to try and, like, do more consistent workouts when I move up north, just because, like, we have a really nice gym provided for us at the school. But I don't know, like, I don't do that here because I don't love the gym environment here. But, yeah, that, and then just, like, I don't know, just, like, being, like, Bible studies. I'm getting self-conscious because I think people can hear us.
It's okay, we'll just, yeah, we'll keep going. We'll act like nothing's here.
Yeah.
It's just a project. Yeah. But, keep going.
Bible studies, ranting to my significant other, because, you know, guys don't really listen when you're talking,
right,
sometimes. So they're just like, yeah, and I feel like by the end of everything, I'm like, okay, I feel so much better.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
Or just talking to your dogs, it works, and you're not so crazy because they want to listen, they want your attention. So I don't know, silly little things like that is how I kind of, like, soothe my stresses and stuff like that, I guess. I don't know. How about you?
For me, I would say also prioritizing that, like, alone time.
Yeah.
I love my bedtime routine. Mm-hmm. I start getting ready for, depending on the day, because some days I have things that are later, but I love starting to get ready for bed around 8.
Yep.
Obviously if it runs later, it runs later, but I really just love, like, taking a quick shower, then getting ready for bed, and then getting stuff ready for the next day. But then I just love to, like, read. I read before I go to bed every night, and it just calms me down. And I just, like the silence. Yeah. I love driving home from work or when I was doing practicum, just in quiet.
Yeah.
And just doing that. If I don't start my mornings because I'm not a perfect human with reading my Bible, then I'll end my day with it. And, like, that also just, like, calms me down, and it re-centers my heart posture, because just, like, God's mercies are new every morning, like, so are mine towards my students.
Right.
And if I had a hard day in the classroom today, like, that's not going to set the tone for tomorrow, because tomorrow is a new day.
Yeah.
And so just, like, reflecting on that, and I'd love to do at least one super fun activity with my friends throughout the week. Back at home, I was a middle school leader, and I know that that's something I'm going to continue when I move back home. So just having that too, because it's a different age group, but just it's more fun because it's more for them, but I do get something out of it too.
Right.
So just, filling my time. And our day doesn't stop when the bell rings.
Nope.
Like, our day starts.
Yeah.
Literally,
you have work after work.
You have work. You have life after work. And I think it's just like, I would much rather fill some things after, because I know that I would be more tended to just go home and rot.
Yeah.
And I love a good show. Like, I'll watch one of those. Yeah. But it's easy to keep going when I haven't gone home. So yeah. I'm one to just kind of fill my schedule.
Yeah.
Whatever that kind of looks like. I think last question I would like to ask is, so part of our school's practicum requirement is, I think we needed like 120, 130
yeah.
hours over the course of our time here. Mm-hmm. And that often looks like getting a mentor teacher.
Yeah.
What is something from any of your mentor teachers? Because, like, I know for me, I've had a couple of them. But, like, what is one of the biggest things that, like, they've done or said to you that stood out that, like, you want to take into the classroom?
Well, I've had quite a few mentor teachers, and all of them were extremely different. But this semester I looked at with two really amazing ones, and they've been super involved in, like, my learning experience and really working on including me into, like, their lessons and stuff. Which I so appreciate, because I've learned so much. But, like, the other day, my mentor teacher had told me something. He said, because I was supposed to be working in a small group with these students, and he's like, try new things, even if you think that they might flop, do it anyways, because you're going to get an answer from that. And it kind of just encouraged me to, like, okay, you can be unsure about something, but, like, try it anyways, because then you'll know whether to keep doing it and, like, revise it, or just don't do it and leave it out, and that's okay. So, like, I guess just being, like, fearless in the sense that, like, it's okay to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You're going to learn something either way, and honestly, when you look at life that way, too, it makes things a little bit easier. Obviously not being, like, super careless, but, you know, you don't need to be so fearless.
I think you should share the story of the time that you read the book.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was... Guys, you don't know this. Allie was, like, making these hand motions with, like...
Books.
Like and I was like, what is she talking about? Bible? I don't know.
That was the awkward silence right there.
Yeah, so it was, like, one of my first times going to my practicum class and, you know, still getting to know the students and the teachers and everything. They were reading this book. It specifically, I couldn't tell you what the title of the book was, but it was about, like, these Native American tribes and these cowboys or Western people, I don't know. And, like, Native American tribes can be hard to pronounce. And so he's like, hey, do you want to read a couple chapters of this book for them? I was like, sure, out loud. So I've never done this before. So I'm, like, trying to read at a steady pace to where they can understand me, but I'm loud enough. I'm also walking in between the desks, like, you know, all of this stuff. And I'm really struggling with these words. Like, I'm literally, like, stumbling over them. And I'm like, these aren't actual words. Like, why am I even talking? I don't know what I'm reading, because I'm so focused on trying to pronounce the right thing. And I finished what he asked me to read. He comes up to me in private. And he's like, so how was that? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, it was fine. I don't know. He's like, yeah, we're not really reading that book, but I know that there were really difficult words in there to pronounce, and I just wanted you to be comfortable making mistakes and having a hard time, you know, trying to express something to your students. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I hate you, but I love you at the same time, because it actually really taught me, like, it's okay to just, like, make mistakes. It's okay. So, yeah, I don't know.
That's, yeah, I
think that's the story.
Yeah, no, that was the story that I was thinking of. It just, like, goes to show that we're always making mistakes and we always can start over. And we want to be silly with kids because they're kids. Like, school's not...
Learning is fun, guys, okay? I used to be... We'll talk about this in another podcast, like, what kind of students we were. And I am so different now. Well, actually, I'm still a student, so I'm kind of the same, to be honest with you. But as a teacher, I can say confidently that I was not your greatest student, okay? Mm-hmm. I never took anything seriously, and we'll talk about that more in depth, but I actually forgot where I was going with this.
That's okay. We'll talk about it in the next episode.
Okay.
I think that was
it. But I think I really had an important point.
Oh, that's okay. You think I'll share what I learned from my mentor teachers. So I was in a class last year, and I think in my time I've had, within 2 years, I've had three teachers, and then now I'm on my own because I'm subbing, but Two of them really did not like their jobs and have both ended up quitting, which has been hard for me because I'm someone who's very passionate, and that really hurt me because I wanted to learn and I just felt like I wasn't learning.
Yeah.
I was getting my required hours and doing the things that I needed, but I was not learning and I was not feeling like, oh my gosh, this person cares for me. And then I had one mentor teacher who I did this one at a private school, and she was so nice. The classroom was hard because the students were so on grade level that there was not always something for me to do.
Right.
But I got to see like her kind of style and stuff, and she was very, very organized. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to say probably fully type A, but she was very organized with like student data, very organized with homework and grading and just like that kind of stuff, because I got to help her prepare for conferences, and it was so nice to see like she pulled work from four different corners of the room because it was four different subjects and they were all organized. And she's like, okay, I'm showing these data reports. I'm showing this, this, and this. Like, and so just like, to me, I took out like, okay, sometimes it can look messy when there's lots of binders or buckets or whatever it is, but it was all for a purpose.
Yeah.
And just being organized with that and knowing how your brain's processing that, was like really helpful. So I think being organized and knowing that you're collecting it for a purpose, and it's not just to collect it. You're collecting it to show parents and families that, hey, this student needs this. This student does well in this. Because that parent-teacher communication is great.
Yeah.
Did you think of your...
Yeah, I did. I was going to say I'm such a nerd now.
Oh.
About like learning and teaching, and like I used to hate learning. I thought it was the dumbest thing ever, but like learning can be so fun. It just shows you like the kind of teachers that I had who, when I was growing up, I'd never felt like they supported me, made it like, obviously, like, okay, in elementary school they have to make it fun for you to like even be engaged, and I do have my select few teachers that I remember and I'm like, oh my gosh, I love them. But for the most part, in high school, just really comes to mind, learning can still be fun in high school.
Yeah.
You know, you have, I think, better opportunities to be interactive with your students.
Mm-hmm.
And they can understand you better. So, you know, I don't know. But we'll talk about that another time.
Thanks for listening to our first ever podcast.
Maybe a teacher is listening to this while they're driving to their practicum class.
Or it's an actual teacher that's just... laughing at us, but like I don't care, because
you gotta start somewhere.
You always have to start somewhere, and they too were in our shoes once. If you're someone listening and you're considering teaching, I would say do your research, get experience before you make that official decision. And it's okay if you start and it's not for you. There's always something out there for you. Or it's okay if you've, like, started and you're in nursing right now and you're like, oh, my gosh, wait.
You wouldn't believe how many nursing students turned into teachers.
I think we have three, right?
Of our friends.
I think three of our friends that started out as nursing majors and are now teachers.
I think half of the...
Shout out to you ladies if you guys are listening. But, like, I just think it's so crazy how all this plays a part.
I'm not yawning because I'm bored. I'm just tired. That's the life of being a teacher.
Literally. Also, it is finals week. Casey moves in a couple days. I'm going back home for break. Like,
it's a crazy season right now.
It's a weird season of life.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for listening.
We're really happy if you did. And
we're
if
happy
you didn't,
you're here.
Recruit your friends, people.
Repost.
Yeah. I promise.
We
we're
both
funny.
Have.
Social media,
but mine's private.
I think I'm public.
Okay, well, I'm gonna keep mine private because
I'm in a profession. I'm supposed to switch over.
Hey, you know, maybe in the few coming weeks of this podcast, we could have an Instagram for it.
Oh, that's definitely happening tonight.
Repost your Instagram, tell your friends, tell your mom, your grandma, I don't care.
Yeah.
Your dog.
Support your local teachers.
I wish we should one day film ourselves like side talking.
We will.
Like,
yeah, we're gonna have Zoom. Lunch too, don't worry.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think that's all we have for today. I do have class in 3 minutes, so.
Yeah, we are sitting out right outside of your class, yeah. So not a far commute. I don't know. Yeah. We need to think of a
We'll figure ending. Out an outro, but for now, thanks for listening. We love you. Jesus loves you, and have a great day.